It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello, everyone. It's April 14th, 2021, and it's time for News to Me. It's 1900 UTC. Want to thank you for being here. I jumped in on comm late last night before bed, and wow, a lot of people there. It was really cool to see so much activity. Found out, hey, you can listen to Anon Radio over there on Twitch under the SDF account, which is pretty cool. Anyway, life is crazy. I've decided, I guess I'll try and refinance my condo. I decay. Anyway.
World news.
It's time for world news. Let's do it. It's happening. I accidentally renamed. I was off a day in a lot of my files, so a lot of my stuff says April 15th, and I'm like, that's tomorrow. What's going on? Anyway, let's get going. First up, a story from Niger. At least 20 children have died after they became trapped in a fire at a school in the capital of Niamey. It started late on Tuesday afternoon when the children were in lessons, many in straw hut classrooms. The flames blocked the school gate, so most pupils had to escape over a wall, said a teachers' union official quoted by Reuters. And this comes to us from BBC.com. Most of those who did not manage to escape were attending the school's nursery, officials say. The government-run junior and preschool in the Pays Baz district of the city had a mixture of brick and straw hut classrooms. BBC Hausa's Chima Iala Isufu. That's really rough. It's Hausa apostrophe S Chima Illa Issoufou. So I'm sorry. I have never heard that name before, so I don't know how to say it. But in total, 28 straw classrooms were completely destroyed, and some of the school's 30 permanent classrooms were also damaged. Straw hut classrooms are often built as overflow areas for lessons in schools where there are not enough brick ones. A man lost his 6-year-old son in the fire and urged the government to construct safe schools for children. Let's not put everything in the hands of God. Let's not put everything in the hands of the state, he told the BBC. We've lost 20 children in a fraction of a second. We must call on the state to say that hut classes should no longer exist anywhere in the country. So, teachers union official Monica Halidu said there were about 800 students attending the school. Those who died were mostly in the preschool, he said. It's not yet clear what caused the fire. Niger is the world's poorest nation, according to the UN's development rankings for 189 countries. So, very sad indeed. Especially it's a nursery, that's just sad. In the United States, they often use portable buildings, or basically manufactured homes, as temporary classrooms. And you can see around, if you drive around to different schools, you can see a lot of these temporary buildings are just, now they're portable buildings. So, not as bad as straw huts, though, for sure. This is a few days old, but it's a story that I missed, so I wanted to be sure and bring it up. Police are warning of all-out war as tribal violence in Papua New Guinea kills 19. Police are warning of an all-out war could erupt in Eastern Highlands Province in Papua New Guinea after 19 people were killed in tribal violence late last week. High-power weapons, as well as hand grenades, were used in fighting on Thursday and Friday near Kainantu town in the east of the country, causing 19 deaths, with many more people unaccounted for and properties destroyed. The fighting between Agarabi and Tapo clans was over a land ownership dispute and broke out just miles outside from Kainantu town in Eastern Highlands Province. Police say they believed fighting stopped on Saturday and Sunday as some fighters observed the Sabbath, but fear fighting could escalate on Monday. This is from Monday. A lot of reports coming in that tomorrow will be an all-out war between the two factions as they've now amassed arms over the weekend. Provincial Police Commander Michael Welly wrote in his report to Police Commissioner David Manning as he requested backup be sent to the area. More lives are expected to lose tomorrow and onwards if we do not get reinforcements quickly. Police Commissioner David Manning said that a 15-man team from the Northern Mobile Group was sent in on Friday and are now on the ground to help local police restore peace, and a mobile squad, MS-13, which is a notorious gang in the United States, from Leh have also been deployed to the area and should arrive today, Sunday. Local MP John Suntuk, who is also on the ground, said that he was aware of the situation and his office was working with police to address the issue. So, I don't see any further updates or related stories to this one. So, if it pops up in any of my news feeds, I'll be sure and bring it up again. So, here's a strange one, or one that at least seemed a little strange to me. This one, the headline is, Chinese man kidnapped and killed in elaborate body swap scheme. Body swap. That's usually just for certain doujinshi that I might read once or twice. But this is actually a Chinese man with Down syndrome was kidnapped and killed in a bungled plot to grant another man's wish for burial rather than cremation. Before he died of cancer in 2017, a man from Southeast China told his family he wanted a traditional burial, but in some region, these are banned. His family hired someone to find a substitute body that could be cremated in place of their relatives. But unknown to them, the man they hired committed murder to provide the body. In September 2020, the man hired by the family, identified only by his surname Huang, was given a suspended death sentence over the murder. While the murder happened in 2017, the case only gained prominence last week after an article about the incident came to wider attention online in China. Court documents show Huang had, in 2017, been offered money by the family to provide them with another body, as they wanted their deceased family member to have a traditional burial. Family lives in Shanwei City in Guangdong Province, where the government requires all dead bodies to be cremated. But while the family assured he would look for another dead body, Huang killed someone in order to fulfill the deal. Spotting a man with Down syndrome picking litter from the street, Huang persuaded him to get into a car and gave the victim alcohol until he passed out. He then put the victim's body into a coffin, and days later it was passed on to the family in exchange for money. The family paid 107,000 yuan, which is about $16,000 US, of which 90,000 yuan went to the accused, while the rest went to a middleman who had since died. Family then proceeded to have the coffin cremated, pretending it contained the body of their relative. The relative's actual body was then buried in a secret, in a traditional way. So, a traditional burial is favored in China, with people investing heavily in funerals and coffins, believing that doing so is a way of showing filial piety towards their ancestors. But China has increasingly been campaigning for people to refrain from burying their dead, and in some regions there's outright ban on burials. This is intended to save land and discourage extravagant burial ceremonies. A regulation dating back to 1997 stipulates that densely populated regions with relatively little land and convenient transport should practice cremation. Those regions which cannot meet such requirements are allowed to conduct burials. Body swapping is not unheard of in China, and mostly occurs in rural areas where more people put stress on following traditional burial ways. So I thought that was very interesting. We learned about the ossuary, and we learned about that not too long ago in France, and I feel like that would be kind of an interesting middle ground. I don't know. I wonder if that's like not something you can do in modern times, but you could have much smaller graves or much more dense burial sites if you buried just the bones. Anyway, just something I was thinking about. All right, let's keep on going. Haiti's prime minister resigns and a replacement's been appointed. Haitian Prime Minister Joseph Jothe announced early Wednesday that he had resigned as the country faces a spike in killings and kidnappings and prepares for an upcoming constitutional referendum and a general election later this year. Jothe, who had served as prime minister since March 2020, did not provide an explanation for his resignation, but President Jovenel Moise said a new prime minister had been appointed. The resignation of the government, which I accepted, I will make it possible to address the glaring problem of insecurity and continue discussions with a view to reaching consensus necessary for political and institutional stability of our country. Mr. Claude Joseph has been appointed PM, Moise tweeted in French. So, there's moving and shaking going on in Haiti. Just wanted to be sure everybody knew about that. What else do we got? Oh, well, Denmark strips Syrian refugees of residency permits and says it's safe to go home. Governments denied renewals of temporary residence status for about 189 Syrians. Denmark's become the first European nation to revoke the residency permits of Syrian refugees, insisting that some parts of the war-torn country are safe to return to. At least 189 Syrians have had applications for renewal of temporary residency status denied since last summer, a move the Danish authorities said was justified because of a report that found the security situation in some parts of Syria had improved significantly. About 500 people originally from Damascus and surrounding areas were being reevaluated. The issues attracted widespread attention since 19-year-old Aya Abu Dahir from Nyborg pleaded her family's case on television earlier this month, moving viewers as she asked, holding back tears, what she had done wrong. Charlotte Slint, Secretary General of the Danish Refugee Council, said that Denmark's new rules for Syrians amount to undignified treatment. The Danish Refugee Council disagrees with the decision to deem the Damascus area or any area in Syria safe for refugees to return to. The absence of fighting in some areas does not mean that people can safely go back. Neither the UN nor other countries deem Damascus as safe. It's pretty serious business. The immigration minute, Danish authorities have so far dismissed growing international criticisms of new policies from the UN and rights groups. The immigration minister, Mathias Tesfaye, told Agence France-Presse, AFP, the government's policy is working and I won't back down. It won't happen. We've made it clear to the Syrian refugees that their president's permit is temporary and that the permit can be revoked if the need for protection ceases to exist. And the next quote is, it's pointless to remove people from life they are trying to build in Denmark and put them in a waiting position without an end date, Slinte of the Danish Refugee Council said. It's also difficult to understand why decisions are taken that cannot be implemented. So that's going on. It's kind of scary and a little sad. Want to go ahead here and let's see. Cool. We're actually doing all right on time. What a big surprise. All right. Time just flies today. Time has been flying today. I think it's because, just as an aside, my parents have been going camping in different state parks, and McKinney State Park is actually like right next to or in the city I live in, and I didn't realize that it was in the city I live in, and my parents are camping out there, but I don't think I can make it to see them because I've made commitments after work, and then it's going to be dark and they'll be asleep. So I don't know. It just seems it's a kind of a weird thing, but man, I sure hope they're okay. Love your parents if they're still around. Or, you know, let them know you love them if you care. If you want to. That's kind of a touchy subject, I'm sorry. Anyway, let's keep on going. We got so much news to talk about. The Kremlin said on Wednesday that a summit between President Vladimir Putin and the U.S. counterpart Joe Biden would be contingent on U.S. behavior after reportedly telling Washington to scrap a plan.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Okay. All right. We got a Rancid song coming up, or Rancid playing a song for you coming up. The actual song itself, though, is I think it's a NoFX song, which should be kind of fun. I like that CD a lot. They have NoFX and Rancid kind of trade off singing each other's songs. Anyway, Biden on a phone call on Tuesday proposed a summit of the estranged leaders to tackle a raft of disputes and told Moscow to reduce tensions over Ukraine triggered by a Russian military buildup. Moscow says the buildup is a three-week snap military drill in response to what it calls threatening behavior from NATO, and has said the exercise is due to wrap up within 2 weeks. Putin's spokesman said on Wednesday that the pro-summit in a yet-to-be-chosen European country was contingent on future U.S. behavior in what looked like a thinly veiled reference to political U.S. sanctions. The tensions between Washington and Moscow are strained, too, by the expected imminent arrival of two U.S. warships in the Black Sea, a step Moscow has called an unfriendly provocation designed to test its nerves. The Russian Navy began a military exercise in the Black Sea on Wednesday ahead of their expected arrival. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Brussels on Wednesday for talks with NATO allies about a range of subjects, including Russia and Ukraine. In a sign that the crisis over Ukraine remains tense, Ukraine's armed forces rehearsed repelling a tank and infantry attack near the border of Russia-annexed Crimea on Wednesday. So, we'll see how that plays out. Shout out to Calm. Somebody from Calm, a new person in Calm, is in Ukraine. So, I want to be sure and take a second before the song starts up to just let you know you are listening to an on radio powered by SDF, Public Access Unix System. All you got to do is SSH over to as new at SDF.org, and you'll go right through the sign-up process. Com is the chat program, and that's how you can interact while listening to the show. Just type com, C-O-M, at the prompt, and then press G for go-to, and Anon Radio in all lowercase letters. And magic, you are in the Anon Radio room, and you can chat and hang out with everybody. Of course, the cool, one of the fun parts is during the show interacting with people, and there's the new show here at 1900-1930, but then you also have the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, one of the most fun and probably like the one of the big like iconic Anon Radio shows. And this is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It's super fun every day at 1930 UTC, every day of the week. Definitely worth checking out. So, anyway, 15 years, here's Bob.
Getting loaded, 15 years till his liver exploded. What's Bob gonna do now that he can't drink? The doctor said, what did you think of me? Bob said, that's the point. I wasn't thinking about nothing. I gotta do something else. Oy, oy, oy. The past the time he went and shaved his head. New identity. 12 hell, Dr. Moffat. And a girl who rides a scooter. Take him out of town. Well, we get around. Ride around. At a truck stop bar, you can hear the motherfuckers go. It's a show. He'll be kicking in his at the punk rock show. Bob's the kind of guy who knows just. Bob's the kind of guy who knows just what to do when the doctor tells him to. Quit your drinking all the time. Really ever walk the line? To all my friends, I feel fine. Really ever walk the line? Kicking ass, busting heads, pressing boy records. What's the name? He shakes his head. But will he ever walk the line? 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 Will he ever walk the
I always enjoy that song. It's a cool one. When I first tried to go to college, I had a tape deck, like a Walkman tape deck, and I had this NoFX ribbed cassette tape, and I would listen to that quite frequently as I was walking around campus. I also would use the payphones quite a bit. There were a lot of fun things you could do with payphones right around the turn of the millennia, I guess you could say. All right. Well, let's go ahead here. We've got a few different stories to go through. I want to go through some... well, they're kind of technical. Anyway, we'll just keep going. This is less worldly news, though. The UAE is partnering with Japan... iSpace to send rover to the moon in 2022. That's right, a lunar exploration company, iSpace, will transport a United Arab Emirates rover to the moon in 2022, the company said on Wednesday, as the UAE pushes for rapid expansion in the space exploration business to diversify its economy. The UAE is using its space program to develop its scientific and technological capabilities and reduce its reliance on oil. The Gulf state and the Arab world's first interplanetary probe entered Mars orbit in February. It's now sending data about the Martian atmosphere and climate. The Rashid Lunar Rover will be designed entirely by Emiratis. The UAE had originally intended to send it into space by 2024. Japanese company iSpace, founded in 2010, aims to provide commercial transportation to the moon with a wider mission to ultimately incorporate the moon into the Earth's economy. The 2022 space launch will be iSpace's first mission of this kind and will use a Falcon 9 rocket from SpaceX to be launched from Florida. Dubai's Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center which is abbreviated MBRSC, will build the Rashid Lunar Rover. It will remain on the moon after data collection is completed, said Emirati's Lunar Mission Manager Hamad Al-Marzouki. The SpaceX rocket will deliver an ice-based lander to the moon's orbit. The lander will propel itself to the moon's surface, and the UAE rover will then emerge from the lander and drive off to explore, said iSpace founder and CEO Takashi Hakamada. The lander will also be carrying a solid-state battery designed by Japanese company NGK Sparkplug to be tested in the lunar environment. The lunar mission is part of the Gulf State's broader vision for a Mars settlement by 2117. Wow, think about that. We're alive today in a world where there's companies with realistic plans for stuff in 2117, and they're like, oh yeah, we're going to have a Mars settlement here. And anyway, I just think it's cool because it feels like science fiction. Under the agreement, iSpace said it would also provide the Emirati's lunar mission with wired communication and power during the cruise phase and wireless communication on the moon. The UAE launched a national space program in 2017 to develop local expertise. Its population of 9.4 million, most of whom are foreign workers, lacks the scientific and industrial base of the major companies, other major countries that have space programs. Hazal Al-Mansouri became the first Emirati in space in 2019 when he flew to the International Space Station. This week, the UAE selected the first Arab woman to train as an astronaut. So I think that's cool. Space is really neat, and I'm excited that people are starting to explore it. Now, talking about getting things to the moon, let's talk about cryptocurrency, a common term a lot of people say. Oh, it's going to the moon. Well, Coinbase heads for $94 billion valuation in NASDAQ debut. Cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase Global is set to be valued at more than $94 billion in a stock market debut on Wednesday, marked another milestone in the development of Bitcoin and other digital assets. At 11:37 a.m., the company's stock was indicated to open at $360 per share, up 44% from the reference price of $250 per share, making its implied value around three times that of exchange operator NASDAQ. Coinbase's launch, done through a direct listing where no shares are sold ahead of the debut, marks a victory for digital currency advocates in a year that's seen a clutch of mainstream, top-tier firms dive into the space. The San Francisco firm was valued at just under $6 billion as recently as last September, but has surged in line with Bitcoin's gains this year. World's biggest and best-known cryptocurrency hit a record of over 63,000 on Tuesday and has more than doubled its value this year as banks and companies warm to the emerging asset. So this will be very interesting. When Bitcoin first came out, I signed up for all kinds of exchanges, and eventually I signed up for Coinbase, and so I've been using them for a long time. So this is kind of cool. I definitely sometimes wish that I hadn't sent Bitcoins to people for, you know, helping me with various little problems and stuff, but I mean, such is life. You know, you never know. It's like, never worry about bad stock deals or sales, I guess. Okay, well, this is great. this is like a sign of the end times coming along. U.S. climate research outpost abandoned over fears it will fall into the sea. Twice a day for the past half a century, a weather balloon to measure atmospheric conditions was released from a research station situated on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Faced with advancing seas that are set to devour it, the outpost has now been abandoned. On March 31st, the handful of workers who operated the National Weather Service station in Chatham were evacuated due to fears the property could fall into the Atlantic Ocean. A final weather balloon was released before they left, with the demolition crew set to raise the empty site this month. Until recently, the weather station had a buffer of about 100 foot of land to a bluff that dropped into the ocean, only for a series of fierce storms in 2020 to accelerate local erosion. At times, 6 feet of land was lost in a single day, forcing the National Weather Service to order a hasty retreat. "We'd known for a long time there was erosion, but the pace of it caught everyone by surprise," said Andy Nash, meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service's Boston office. "We felt we maybe had another 10 years, but then we started losing a foot of bluff a week and realized we didn't have years, maybe just a few months. A couple of storms away from a very big problem." So, yeah, it's pretty scary stuff. You can read the full thing at theguardian.com if you want. Basically it goes into just some different background information about climate change. So KKR is back in the news. We mentioned it. We talked about them whenever they threw some money into Box not too long ago. Well, KKR-backed pizza platform Slice has raised $40 million in latest funding round. I thought it was cool because there's a pizza platform, and that made me think of Pizza Pal. So if you ever hear this, Pizza Pal, howdy, shout out to you. But Slice, an online ordering platform which helps small pizzerias compete with larger chains, said on Wednesday it raised $40 million in its latest funding round led by Cross Creek, with participation from two former Twitter Inc. executives. So this is just kind of neat. I don't know. I never heard of this platform before. But I do know that I support my local pizza place, Conan's Pizza, an Austin original. And it's about a mile walk from me, so not too bad. I still get it delivered, though, because pizza is better when it's delivered, I think. All right. We are about 4 minutes or so away from the end of the show and the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So what do you know? We've got three stories, so I think that will fit just right. Watchdog lays bare Capitol Police's riot security failures. A blistering internal report by the U.S. Capitol Police describes a multitude of missteps that left the force unprepared for the January 6th insurrection. Riot shields that shattered upon impact, expired weapons that couldn't be used, inadequate training, and an intelligence division that had few set standards. The Watchdog report, released internally last month and obtained by the Associated Press before a congressional hearing Thursday, adds to what is already known about broader security and intelligence failures that Congress had been investigating since hundreds of then-President Donald Trump supporters laid siege to the Capitol. In an extensive time of that day, the report describes the movement of the Capitol Police as officers scrambled to evacuate lawmakers, and its details previously unknown conversations between officials as they disagreed on whether National Guard forces were necessary to back up the understaffed force. So this will be very interesting to see how it goes. You can read the whole thing at AP News if you want. I'm curious to just see what the outcome is, because that seems... Anyway... That was a very weird time, and I'm kind of sad. It's upsetting that all of those terrorists are not sitting in jail. They're just at home being fine. Meanwhile, people are getting pulled over for having air fresheners or their lights on or off or walking down the street getting killed for no reason. All right, a cry for an acknowledgement. U.S. House Democrats urge reparations bill. Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday will try to advance a bill that could lead to reparations for Black Americans as part of a broader effort to address centuries of enslavement followed by modern-day institutional racism. Faces an uphill climb in Congress, where prominent Republicans oppose the measure, and none have joined the 175 Democrats who signed on as co-sponsors. Representative Jim Jordan, the senior Republican on the House Judiciary Committee that is scheduled to vote on the measure on Wednesday, intends to oppose it. The measure would establish a commission to draft reparation proposals. It would be modeled on a commission Congress approved in the 1980s to document the World War II forced removal and incarceration of thousands of Japanese Americans. So you can read more at Reuters, but we'll see how this plays out. It seems like it's got a lot of resistance. And here's one last one. It's just a nice little friendly shout-out kind of article. This is from Neiman Labs. With matrimonial ads and shout-outs, local... spelled with a K, L-O-K-A-L, is finding new revenue in staples of Indian media. Over the last few years, the Indian telecom company Jio has made internet access more affordable and available to new users across the country. But much of the internet is designed for an English-speaking audience, Jani Pasha, one of the co-founders of the hyper-local information app Local, told me. That's why Local, an Android app that's been downloaded more than 7 million times, is available in Tamil and Telugu, two of India's most widely spoken languages. It's already offered citizen journalism that users could share, but now it's branching out into replicating other services that newspapers offer. So I thought this was pretty cool. I think access to news and the internet should be a human right, and everybody should be able to have access to this kind of stuff. All right, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Seven.